Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad to have you with us today. We talk about crazy college basketball. What about last night? Fight between Kansas and Kansas State. That thing got ugly at the end. Silvio D'Souza, if you go back and look at the video, he actually was hunting down a chair and at one point raised it above his head before it looked like a coach or someone in a suit pulled it away from him. But it almost was like a WWE wrestling match ending. It was crazy. And that, I think, just kind of highlights in a very negative way what type of crazy season this has been. Normally when we talk about crazy, we mean upsets or not being able to find a true number one team or so many upsets across the country, different levels. And then last night, something like that at that level, just kind of disgusting. So definitely a crazy night. Also in the Purdue-Illinois game, a player for Illinois ejected after stepping on a Purdue player. That was kind of the craziness off the court, the, you know, I don't want to say violence, but that sort of stuff. And then you had some crazy scores. Maryland was down big to Northwestern at halftime, ended up coming back and winning. And then also in college basketball, not Big Ten, but closer to home, Evansville fired their coach, which I think people expected could be coming. He had been on administrative leave. But the big surprise there, not only the firing, but just hours after the firing, they announced the hiring of a new coach. So we have lots to talk about today. A crazy world of college basketball this season. Last night took another turn, just amazing in a terrible way to watch that Kansas-Kansas State game unfold. You think the game's over. Maybe it had been chippy a little bit toward the end. Kansas was a big winner in that contest. But, boy, you don't expect to see a block shot right at the goal at the end of the game turn into just an all-out brawl with players and everyone else coming around. The one thing I will say, the video's all over Twitter. I'm sure that, you know, if you're on social media, you've probably watched it a number of times now. But the one thing that you can be proud of in a terrible situation to not be proud of like that is that all the adults around, whether it was fans, security guards, coaches, everyone seemed to behave. It was basically the players completely out of line there in a very disappointing situation last night, no question about it. Lots to get to today. We'll talk all of that and more. And, of course, Indiana getting ready for a big, big game at home against Michigan State, which I think is going to be a very interesting game for this Indiana team, a very interesting week for this Indiana team as well to see how they are going to move forward from this juncture in the Big Ten standings with, of course, Michigan State Thursday night, Maryland on Sunday. Some interesting games coming up for Indiana against some of the better teams of the Big Ten Conference. And of course, you look at that Maryland halftime score, 40-26, they were behind to Northwestern, and then they end up coming back winning that contest. You look at that and you can see that it's not just Indiana that has two sides or Devontae Green that has a good and a bad side. A lot of teams in this crazy Big Ten Conference, even some at the top of the league, they have their good nights and bad nights, good halves, bad halves. Star players have good efforts and bad efforts. Kind of interesting as we move into what I think a big four-day stretch for this Indiana team. Welcome into the show today. Let's take a look at the show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany on this Wednesday program. In segment number one, as always, we have our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday show. Lots to get to. We'll talk about college basketball, the Big Ten last night. Romeo Langford is back in the G League effective yesterday. We'll talk about that. Also, Evansville, that situation a little bit more on the firing of Walter McCarty and the new coach. It's Todd Licklider that's going to take over the Evansville program. He is a well-known name in college basketball in our state and probably a pretty good hire and a pretty good move in the middle of the year when you think, good God, what do you do when you lose a coach, have to fire a coach in the middle of the season, probably given his understanding of building college programs, of coaching Division I basketball at a number of different levels, probably makes a lot of sense. So we'll talk about that. Also, IU football was very active. Their coaches were around the country with some visits yesterday, and I couldn't even keep up with all the scholarship offers going out. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com probably did the best job, but I want to think it was 18 to 20 scholarship offers, if I counted correctly, that were issued yesterday by the IU coaching staff. So a very active time on the football side and, of course, trying to take advantage of some of the momentum of a bowl appearance and a really competitive bowl game and really overall a good season for Indiana football. We'll do that in segment one. Coming up in segment two, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins me. Always great to catch up with Dustin in the middle of the week. Today we'll take a look at IU Michigan State a little bit more. We'll also talk about some of the crazy happenings in college basketball last night and, of course, the Big Ten as well when Dustin is with us. And then later in the show, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will join me, presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 T-shirt, to talk some local headlines. We talked a lot about some of the big activity over the weekend, and this is a big weekend coming up as well. Some very interesting high school games forthcoming and some other things we want to get to, and Craig is with us today, so stay with us for that coming up a little bit later in the program. Don't forget to stop by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison to receive $1 off a delicious box lunch made to order for you. You can interact with the show, submit a question or a comment, and it might get read on the air. On Twitter, you can follow me at Hoosier Hills. Again, all one word, Hoosier Hills. You can tweet me there, submit your question there, your comment there. Also, the show has a Facebook page. On Facebook, just search The Hoosier Report. You can leave us a message there. Also, you can get updates on our show and podcast and many other things as well. But we'd love to hear from you today and appreciate those of you on a regular basis that do take time to send in some questions and comments. We do our best to work them in on the program. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Zaxby's with locations in Jeffersonville and New Albany. I mention every day, it seems like, the craziness of the Big Ten Conference, and you just never know from day in to day out what's going to happen. Last night, I flipped on the television looking at college basketball, and Maryland behind to Northwestern 40-26 at halftime. Now, Maryland would end up coming back for the win, 77-66 at Northwestern last night. Maryland goes on to come back and get a win. In fact, a double-digit and 11-point win on the road is not bad, but a crazy halftime score for Maryland, a team that Indiana's getting ready for here after the Michigan State game. Last night as well, the Illinois game, Illinois a winner 79-62 over Purdue as issues continue for this Purdue team. And it was Alan Griffin last night for Illinois that was ejected after stepping on a Purdue player in that contest. Really just crazy to see stuff like that go on. Of course, everything in a negative light, highlighted by that Kansas State-Kansas brawl last night. But just crazy to see something like that happen, and glad to see Swift action, obviously, ejected, which means he'll miss a game. Just not good business, not what you want to see in college basketball, not a good role model, not something that should happen. I mean, we're talking about college basketball here, guys playing the game at a high level. You hate to see something like that. Last night all the way around, really not a good night for the sport. Wisconsin also a winner last night. They were winners over, Wisconsin was over Nebraska, 82-68 in Madison. So, of course, Indiana just had a win at Nebraska. Nebraska drops another one, this time on the road in Madison. And getting ready for a night of games tonight, if you want to look at the Big Ten schedule, this is interesting here. Penn State at Michigan, also a pretty interesting game. Rutgers on the road at Iowa, who at times has been pretty good. Minnesota also, who's been decent at Ohio State, who and actually that Minnesota at Ohio State game is a Thursday game, so just two Big Ten games tonight. But I think both of those games, Penn State at Michigan, Rutgers at Iowa, both interesting games on the Big Ten schedule tonight. Moving on in our Zaxby's headlines for this Wednesday show, Romeo Langford had some opportunities with Boston, missed a couple games because of illness. He was sick. Was back in a couple days ago. I think he had, what, 2 or 3 points in a game, but very limited playing time for Romeo with this Boston team, although he has been staying with the Boston roster in the Boston practices now on a regular basis. Came out yesterday evening around the 5 o'clock hour that Boston has assigned Romeo Langford to the main Red Claws. So I have to assume that this is about playing time. It's about finding him minutes. Lots of back and forth for him so far this season. It looked like a number of weeks ago he might find a role on this Boston team for some somewhat regular minutes. He had, I think, 8 points in one game and there for a number of games in a row was logging some cleanup-type minutes, maybe a little more at times, but that has really slowed down, and it looks like Romeo headed back to the main Red Claws. I did not look to see when their next game is, but I assume he will come in there guns a-blazing with the opportunity to get plenty of playing time, and interesting to watch. It's going to be, I think, interesting to see how this thing works long-term for Romeo Langford to get playing time, to find a role. Will he stay now with the G League for a while? Is this going to be a temporary assignment? And you hear rumors at times. I don't know how substantiated any of it is, but could Romeo be traded? Could he be traded to a team that maybe has a need for a player in his position? So an interesting thing to watch. He sure has not been able to materialize into any type of solid role for Boston. It'll be interesting to see now what happens next for him as he goes back to Maine in the G League. Also, not a school that we really talk about a lot, but obviously Indiana college basketball is great, even at the mid-major level. You want to talk about a topsy-turvy season. Evansville wins at Kentucky in a non-conference game earlier in the year. All indications are Walter McCarty had Evansville headed both on the floor with his coaching and in the recruiting ranks in a very good situation for that mid-major program. And then, of course, we find out that he's under investigation for sexual misconduct. We find out yesterday, last evening, late in the afternoon, early in the evening, that he's fired as Evansville's coach. I don't think there was any surprise based on some of the reports and some of the rumors out there as well. And then hours after that, I think around 10 o'clock, 10:15 last night, Todd Licklider has been hired almost immediately to replace him. It's not an interim thing. It's not a temporary thing. It's a permanent thing for Todd Licklider, who is obviously very experienced in college basketball, former coach at a number of different places. In fact, most recently, he was an assistant coach on Walter McCarty's staff last season. He resigned during the summer to recover from a medical situation. He suffered in an accident, but is back to full health now. I think he recently was at an Evansville game. Of course, he's coached at a number of spots in Division I, Butler in the state of Indiana. Also, he spent some time as the coach at Iowa, various places. Pretty interesting hire, and not often that an athletic director or a school that's going through a negative situation with their coach like that and has to make the change in the middle of the season is able to locate someone that they can hire on a permanent basis. Normally, it's finished the season with an assistant coach, an interim coach is brought in, some sort of situation like that until they can open it up and find a permanent replacement. But kind of a unique situation. Let's hope it works out well for everyone. Obviously, there's some talent in this Evansville program right now. I don't know that things have continued since the big Kentucky win as Evansville had hoped. But still some talent there, and hopefully as things settle down, Licklider takes over, I think, tonight or tomorrow, immediately in practice and also at the very next Evansville game, which again tonight or tomorrow, I forget which, he'll be on the bench leading the team. So, wow, what a quick turnaround. Thankfully, he's got some connection to the program and the players previously, but I guess if you get in that type of situation, lucky to have someone like him that is experienced as Coach Licklider is to take over also. Also, in our headlines today, not going to run through all the names, but what an unbelievable list of players. A lot of Florida guys and really across the country to receive scholarship offers yesterday by the IU football staff. Indiana football, obviously, like most college football programs right now, their staff has been finalized for next season. That's all taken care of. And they are hitting the road in a big way recruiting. I saw some photos of assistant coaches and even Coach Allen as well over the last few days out visiting with players and their families, some in-home visits, but most impressively, a large number of players. And I'm talking without keeping track of them. I think it's somewhere 18, 19, 20, or even more players have received scholarship offers from IU football here. In fact, yesterday was a huge day. Even into this morning, more scholarship offers being reported. You can follow Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. He's got almost an instantaneous list of things that are happening as far as recruiting goes with this team. But it's very clear it's that time of year, number one. But number two, Indiana, off the season that they had, is trying to make some noise and trying to make a splash in recruiting. And boy, they have been active here the last few days with scholarship offers, visits, and more. A very, very busy time for the football recruiting scene with Indiana. That's a look at our headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. Coming up in the next segment, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic joins the program. We will take a long look at Indiana and Michigan State, some individual player stuff as well with this Indiana team coming up in the next segment with Dustin. And then later in the show, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he is with me as we take a look at some local stuff. So stay with us for that and more. A very busy edition here of on this Wednesday of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back on this Wednesday program. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic always with us on this day. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic and joins us to talk Big Ten basketball, IU, and much more each week. Dustin, we've talked about how crazy this college basketball season and the Big Ten Conference has been so far this year, but I'm not sure any night has been more wild than last night. Kansas State, basically in an all-out brawl at the conclusion of that game. I believe you were at the Purdue game last night. Purdue struggles continued last night, and there was even an ejection in that game on the Illinois side. Just another wild and somewhat violent night, I guess you could say, in college hoops.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, actually, you were sitting around in the press room afterwards, and a lot of people were bringing up, man, you know, if you're Alan Griffin, you kind of have to thank Kansas and Kansas State because nobody's talking about you today at all. You know, that was a pretty, you know, classless move he made. Obviously, I guess I think he felt like Stefanovic sort of took out his knees when he was like driving for the bucket, and he got sort of annoyed at that. So while Stefanovic was down on the ground, he just stepped on his chest, which is a flagrant too, and got him kicked out. And briefly, that sort of sparked Purdue the most that they were all night. They had 7 points in two possessions due to that, because Stefanovic scored on the layup. He got two free throws that kept the ball, and I think they got 5 points out of that possession, and I think two on the next one, or they might have hit a, I think that had a four there. He might have missed one of the free throws. And they ended up with three in the next possession, got back in the game, and ended up, you know, they were up one at half, but just the bottom fell out in the second half. Illinois was like 11 or 12 from the field. But yeah, no, it was interesting being also in that press room, because there was a bunch of Illinois beat writers who pointed out that Bruce Weber and Bill Self were both obviously former Illinois coaches.
Yeah, that's right.
And they were joking about if those two got in a fight, who would win. So that was interesting. But yeah, no, obviously a really ugly scene at Kansas State last night. I guess, I mean, the one good thing is at least Sylvia D'Souza didn't use the chair. That's at least one step in the right direction. At least when he grabbed the weapon, he decided not to actually use it. But certainly a lot going on that was wrong there. Just obviously not a great move by the Kansas State guy to, you know, kind of, you know, with the game over, you know, make a move there, and then sort of everybody else gets into it. And there was all kinds of people that I couldn't even identify where they were coming from throwing punches. You know, guys were in polo shirts that were on the, you know, obviously on the bench, not actually playing. And then just a lot of guys just deciding, okay, we're going to get into this thing, just wasn't pretty at all. And certainly is going to have a big effect on the Big 12 race the rest of the year. A lot of people are probably going to get suspended for that. Who knows how long that's going to go, but just it just obviously just a really ugly scene. And Kansas State, and again, not a great thing on Illinois' part, but that kid will, I'm sure, get suspended in some way as well.
Yeah, no question about it. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, my guest. Indiana getting ready for a big two games, I believe, here. Michigan State Thursday, Maryland on Sunday. And I want to mention just for a minute, Maryland last night, just flipping through scores and taking a look at things, down big at Northwestern at halftime. They find a way to really get going in the second half, go on to win by 11 points. But all the conversations we've had, not just about Indiana and Purdue, but about the whole conference being just unknown really at times this year, that's a halftime score, although it did not turn into be a final score that way, but a halftime score that just makes you scratch your head.
No, it really does. I mean, I've said, the one team that I think is really undermanned in this league is Northwestern. I mean, even Nebraska's next, but they've got enough firepower with their guards, guys who can shoot it. They can stay in a lot of games, and especially at home. You know, they are really, really dangerous at home. You know, Northwestern, I mean, they're better with Bowie being back, but man, I mean, they just don't have a lot of firepower. I mean, there's just not a lot of guys in that team that can really beat you. I mean, you got to give credit to Pat Spencer for being a, you know, lacrosse player for all of his career and coming in and being the starting point guard. I mean, he's a heck of an athlete, too. You got to give him a lot of credit for that. And I guess there's a couple guys that are at least a little bit dangerous, but largely there's just not a whole lot of juice on that team in terms of guys that can really burn you. And for Maryland to go in there and be in trouble is an issue. And Maryland has really, really struggled on the road. I mean, everybody has. But I think you look at that Maryland team and think, man, this is a team that should be good enough. You know, there's enough pieces here. You know, Jalen Smith, super talented big man. Anthony Cowens, as good of a point guard as there is in the league. You've got a couple wings that are really, really good, and Morsell and Wiggins and just some other guys that are just really, really impressive players. And you just kind of wonder, like, how do they keep getting themselves in bad spots on the road? And to do that against, you know, Northwestern, you're just like, is this Maryland team going to figure it out? You have to think it is. You know, obviously there's a lot of complaints about Turgeon and not being, you know, just not necessarily winning in the clutch, but just keep looking at this team and thinking, man, it's got to put it together, you know, especially on the road. But yeah, no, it's another example of like what is going on in this league. You know, how is this possible? And, you know, I asked the question to Brad Underwood last night, you know, what's the deal with this? And he said, I think, you know, him, Painter, Izzo, and even Roy Williams were sitting around, you know, talking about this just huge, just chasm in home and road, you know, for the Big Ten. It's just it's got to be unprecedented. I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me, the historical figures in front of me, but I mean, it's got to be what really 4-42-8 or something like that. It's just crazy. But that's obviously, again, just shows the unpredictability, because you just see just very few teams are able to win on the road, which again speaks well for Illinois last night for them to come in and win at Mackey. Mackey is a very difficult place to win for all the flaws that Purdue seems to have. You know, Illinois came into Mackey last night and just took, you know, ripped Purdue's heart out in the second half.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Let's talk more about IU and Michigan State, your thoughts on that game. It's Indiana looking to show over these next few games to get one, to get two, show they belong in the pack of those in contention maybe in the Big Ten Conference. And then for Michigan State, they would love to have some separation between where they're at now, which is the top of the conference, and the rest of the conference, if they could win an important road swing that they are entering as well Thursday when they head to Assembly Hall. So it's kind of two different teams, two different missions, and some tough stretches ahead for both of those teams.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think if you're Indiana, you know, Archie Miller, I think, is certainly happy with what he saw on Saturday from his guys, because you've seen a lot of games where they've really showed the failure formula. And last night was really that game was really the success formula for them. Basically, just, you know, getting the ball in the paint, you know, getting their big guys the ball, giving them a chance. You know, obviously it helps. I mean, you know, Nebraska does not have a lot of bodies to deal with you inside. I mean, they've got to burn you, you know, from outside. But they certainly, you know, still managed to defend reasonably well on the perimeter and really took advantage of their size advantage. You know, 40 points in the paint. Jackson Davis and Brunk and Justin Smith all getting going. Those three guys, what do they finish with here? I think Jackson Davis, I think, went 18-13. You know, Brunk 16. You know, Smith 15. Like, all those guys getting going is really good news for them. And Jackson Davis 6-7, Brunk 7-8, Smith 7-12. You know, all of that good news. Jerome Hunter and Armon Franklin, each of those guys hitting a couple, you know, a pair of three pointers, is big news, just because obviously those guys are good shooters that have terrible numbers. That at some point it's going to get going for them, and they're going to hit some shots, and then water's going to find its level. They're not great shooters necessarily, but they're good, and that's, they both really, really needed to see a couple go through the net to remind them they are good shooters. And Jerome Hunter, I think, has had a really good stretch here. He only played 7 minutes, but scored 6 points in that time. And, you know, Archie Miller's been happy with it, what they're getting out of him defensively. So they're starting to see some good signs. I mean, and those were a bunch of good signs in that game that they could start to say, all right, this is getting a little bit better. I think Archie Miller's getting happier with the defensive end. You know, he said, he thinks they've gotten to the point that they're a pretty good team, maybe not a very good defensive team, but a pretty good defensive team. And that's a lot different from what he was saying in November and even December. So all those, I think, are good signs for Indiana, and to be able to come back home, for what is going to be obviously a big time environment with Michigan State coming in. I mean, that they've got a chance to keep some momentum going, but obviously, again, they're playing a really, really good Michigan State team, like you mentioned. And again, this is a team that looks at itself, I think, and says, you know, we are the best team. We're the most talented team in this league. We should be able to start running away with this thing. And it hasn't quite happened yet, but, you know, again, they certainly have the pieces. So you keep seeing Cassius Winston take steps. You keep seeing Xavier Tillman take steps. You know, the really big issue for them is just getting other guys, you know, Rocket Watts, Aaron Henry, Gabe Brown, you know, getting those guys moving and getting those guys to the point where they can rely on them, because you haven't necessarily seen that yet. They get to the point where they can really trust those guys. And Watts is definitely coming a lot further. I think I certainly thought he was going to be a really good player, and you're starting to see, I think, some signs of him. They need to see more from Aaron Henry. That guy's got a lot of talent. He should be a guy that they can really rely on to score. But that's, you know, again, Michigan State is going to be a really tough team to beat wherever you play them, because, you know, they're Michigan State. They've got all the pieces they need. It's still a team that I think can, you know, flip a switch and go win the national title, especially just with the amount of parity there is, the fact that nobody's run away and hit. You know, that's still a team that's got enough talent, that has enough pieces, that they can put it together and win the whole thing.
Dustin, I look at IU's schedule forthcoming, obviously two at home, Michigan State, Maryland, followed by two on the road before Indiana returns to Bloomington to take on Purdue for the first time this season. Those two road games after the two home ones, Penn State and Ohio State, and that Penn State game, obviously, I think, extra interesting because of the surge Penn State has been on this season. I'm not sure how successful Indiana will be. I don't really know how successful they need to be over those four games if you really break it down from an NCAA tournament resume perspective, but those two at home against top-level teams, and then the Penn State and Ohio State game on the road, this little four-game swing, this four-game stretch here, I think tells us a lot about Indiana, and that's obvious at this time of year, but I really believe that if Indiana can win one or two of these games, that you start counting up wins. We're to that point where bracketologies and predictions for the tournament are starting to be released. And also heading into the final month or so of conference play here very soon, if you get past that four-game stretch with a win or two, you can kind of count the rest of the way what Indiana needs and where maybe those best can come. Not that in this crazy conference it's going to play out near like what we think, but very interesting swing ahead for this team that I think will set the tone, or could set the tone, for the rest of the way, and obviously tell us a lot more after these next four games about where Indiana's at with their tournament resume.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I think you look at the schedule right now, and you can say there's not an easy one left on the board, which also means that there's not really an opportunity for a bad loss. You know, kind of every game that they play from this point forward is building their resume. It's a win that looks nice, that they'll be able to point to at the end. So they have to rack something up. They can't zero out throughout the stretch they've got coming up. But no, absolutely. I think it really will tell you where are they going to fit in. You know, are they going to be part of the conference race? Are they going to be in the middle of the pack, or are they going to be one of those teams that is, you know, just, you know, riding the coattails of the league and hoping that, you know, they get 10 basically, and that the committee looks at this and says, man, this team's really, you know, these guys are really beating themselves up. You got to give credit to anybody who's in this league and has a half decent record to get in the tournament. So But yeah, these are really key. All of them, I think, are winnable. I mean, I think the Michigan State game, I think, is the toughest one for them to get. But you know, every other one of those games, you know, obviously we just mentioned Maryland, the degree to which they've had trouble on the road. You know, that's a winnable game. Basically, at Penn State, I mean, at Penn State is playing really well. Again, I went there. That's my alma mater. I have seen a bunch of games at the Bryce Jordan Center, and I know very well that it is not the most intimidating environment in the world. So it is a place you can go in and win. It's not an easy team to beat right now, just in terms of the way they're playing basketball, but it's not the sort of place that, man, you really can't win a game there. It's tough to shoot there because it's a little bit more like an NBA arena, and it's pretty cavernous, and there are not a lot of humans in it usually. So, you know, it's not necessarily as easy to read the shots. But if you can overwhelm them physically, you've got a chance to win that game. And Ohio State, I mean, greatly, man, I mean, this, the bottom has kind of fell out for them. And, you know, obviously you have to think at some point they're going to get back on the horse and be able to win some games at home. There was a lot of talent on that team, but it all of a sudden just can't win basketball games. But so I think, you know, to your point, and if you even throw in Purdue there, you know, at home, you know, these next four are obviously much closer together, but you throw in that Purdue game at home. And, you know, they've got to get at least one or two of those. You'd have to think just to be in the discussion, especially to be able to get Purdue at home when they're, you know, when Purdue is not really shooting well on the road at all and having a really hard time getting anything offensive going. There's got to be some wins in there. They've got to be able to get a couple that they can, again, show the committee that, hey, we belong, we can beat people that aren't easy to beat, you know, either at home or on the road. It's definitely going to be some games they need to pick some up. I mean, it's not that they've got a bad resume right now. You know, obviously the Ohio State win, I think, does look nice at this point, but it might not look as good if they keep tumbling. You know, Northwestern win doesn't do a whole bunch for you. You got a couple other good ones, obviously, in the non-conference with UConn and Florida State. But they could really use a win that that stands out, you know, and they've got some opportunities with these coming up. Again, it'll be something they could show the committee and say, look, we can do this.
Dustin, kind of following up on some of the bracket predictions out earlier this week, and Indiana in a couple that I saw, although obviously a lot can change depending on what happens here in coming weeks. Is there a number, and I asked Mike Pegram this yesterday, is there a number as you look at the schedule and where this conference is at and where this team is at that you believe additional wins from where things are at currently, 14-4 overall, 4-3 in the Big Ten Conference, is there a number of total wins still to come or total for the conference season that you think Indiana has to hit to have a legitimate chance to make the big dance?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it makes a difference, you know, which those wins are. You know, again, I think right now they've got one win that keeps on giving, and that's Florida State. You know, again, Ohio State might become that if they get back on track and be that again, but that it isn't right now the way things were. I mean, it looked like it was going to be that. It doesn't look like it's going to be that right now. If that changes, if they get back on their horse and become, you know, get back to being at least playing like a contender, that can be again. You know, whereas last year, I mean, obviously they were able to stick into it a lot longer without as many wins because you had a couple that you could circle, certainly beating Michigan State twice, obviously being the best example of that. So they're going to have to get a couple that, again, that you can point to and say, hey, this shows they belong, this shows they're legit. And, you know, I mean, that I think requires to win a couple on the road, at least, you know, because I think they've got some good games at home. But, you know, I don't know that – I don't know if they just hold serve. They're actually not. I look at it. I mean, if they just hold serve and they beat Michigan State and Maryland, they'll be all right. But, I mean, I think if they, you know, only win their home games other than those two, you know, I think they put themselves in a difficult position. If they lose on the road for that, that's only, I think, what, 4 or 5 left. If you take out those two games, those next two. So, I mean, I would say, I think they're safe if they get to 20. You know, anything less than that, I think it's a bubble situation. And I just don't know how the bubble was going to form because there's just so much mediocrity. If we're going to get straight to the point on that and just be real about it, I mean, it's going to be one of those bubbles that, like, there's going to be a jumble of teams that are part of it. And obviously, you know, if you don't see the same kind of evenness in other conferences and this sort of continues to play out where teams can't win on the road in the Big Ten, but they're dominant at home, then obviously the committee is going to have to take an interesting look at what it does with the Big Ten, because it's not going to look the same way in other conferences. And they're going to have to say, okay, how good is this league? How many do they deserve? How do we evaluate a league that just cannibalizes itself to this extent? Does it have enough, you know, non-league wins, combined to justify 10 teams in the tournament? You know, does that make any sense? You know, and can you, you know, does it, if Indiana, you know, is it like 18 or 19? Can they ride the coattails of that a little bit? You know, it will make a difference in the Big Ten. I mean, I think if they get to 20, they're safe. I think if they get to 20, then they could say, okay, you know, we're in. If you hang six more, you know, Big Ten wins on here, and they go 10-10 in the league, I think that puts them in a pretty good spot. Even in that case, they would still be, I think, losing more than they win the rest of the way. All the same, you know, they go 10-10 in the league, maybe win a game in the tournament. I think that, that puts them in pretty good shape. That makes them pretty safe. But you don't know, again, in this league, just how it's going to shake out, and, again, how this bubble is going to go.
Dustin Dolpirak of The Athletic. Final topic, final question for you today. Romeo Langford yesterday, after a reasonably long period of just being with the Celtics, he had some games where he got minutes and other games where he played not at all, and I think some illness mixed in there, and a few he wasn't even on the bench. But he's been reassigned to the main Red Claws. Kind of interesting to see how his rookie year has went. Lots of injuries at the start, smaller injuries that just kept him from maybe breaking through with this team. And then now that the season is well underway, kind of some opportunities here, opportunities there, but nothing consistent for him, and it's very interesting to see him go back to the G League now at this point of the year.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, though, is that Carson Edwards is kind of having the same state of affairs. So it's really like almost like when one goes up, the other comes down. I mean, it's almost like they are sort of passing back and forth the last spot on the roster. I think you've seen some good moments really from each of them. Carson's had some moments where he's really scored the basketball. It seems like every time he goes down to Maine, he's pretty dominant, honestly. But for Romeo, I mean, it's again, like, because of all the injuries, because of everything, you know, the illness, just everything that's cost him time. He's obviously had a tough time getting any kind of rhythm in the NBA, and it's tough. You know, I guess when you go through that much injury, and, you know, even when you get there, you're not really too high on the rotation. There's only so many minutes they can get you. And for a team, obviously, that's competing, that's, you know, they're 28-14 right now. That's a team that's part of that huge, you know, you're talking about just a middle of the pack that's really close. We're just everybody behind the Bucks in the Eastern Conference is really competing for that two seed, and they're pretty even. So, you know, like, there's only so much time that you're going to be able to spend if you're Brad Stevens trying to make sure that Romeo Langford is getting the most out of his rookie year. It's about winning. I mean, they've done a really good job, I think, of rebuilding, and, you know, after losing Kyrie and Al Horford and deciding, okay, what kind of team are they going to be? I mean, they've certainly become, maintained contender status, despite making some pretty big changes in their lineup. So, I mean, like, in that environment, you can only give so much to Romeo Langford. I guess what I've read, and I haven't had a chance to watch him all that much, he has been able to, he's shown some signs of his ability to finish the rim. He's become a better defender, which I think is really key, because, you know, he has obviously the physical tools to be a pretty good defensive player in the NBA. You know, he's got a lot of length. You know, he's got some, you know, good bit of lateral quickness. As a guy that should be able to defend at that level, and wasn't necessarily a lockdown defender. Was a serviceable, you know, did his job basically on, for Indiana. But it took, you know, Archie Miller said it took him a while for him to really get locked in on the defensive end. That was something that he had to keep working on him with. And so I think he that's at least one good thing he at least cognitively knows that he's going to have to defend if he has any chance at making and sticking in the NBA. But, I think what you have seen, I think, especially as they've gone with these two-way contracts and kind of changed the way that G League teams are used and make them more like a minor league, it's not a death sentence at all to somebody's career to get sent back. you know, it's a place to get more minutes, and it's an opportunity to get more time. It's an opportunity to grow a little bit, you know, and he's not that far away up in Maine. So it's not a really bad sign that he keeps getting reassigned. It's not a bad sign that Carson Edwards keeps getting reassigned either. I think it does show that they are showing enough that they'd like them to be pretty good. It's just, you know, it's like in baseball when you know, sometimes guys go back to AAA a lot because that's where the at-bats are for them. You know, even if the big league likes what they're doing, they know that there's not enough at-bats for them at the major league level. I think that's really the way that they look at Langford and Carson Edwards with the Celtics is, you know, those guys need to get some at-bats against professionals. And even if it's not in the NBA, even at the G League, that's something instead of just kind of having them on the bench the whole time.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic, as always, Dustin. Great stuff, great conversation. In fact, tomorrow on our Thursday program, we'll be joined by one of your counterparts, Brendan Quinn, who's going to help us preview the IU-Michigan State game from a Spartans perspective. So appreciate.
Well, there you go. You guys got our all star right there. Quinn's as good of a discussion as you can get. It's even more enjoyable if you can get him over a Guinness. He's even more fun in that case. So.
Absolutely. Dustin, appreciate you and, of course, everyone at The Athletic. Great content about college hoops and more, and really appreciative of having you with us and Brendan tomorrow as well to dive a little deeper into Michigan State in that contest. So appreciate it, and we'll do it again next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, as always.
All right, Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with us. Yeah, Thursday. Our program, as always, Alex Bozich will join us to talk IU basketball, and then Brendan Quinn of The Athletic as we'll take a look at Michigan State and kind of put the final preparations on that game for you. A big one Thursday night, Michigan State at Indiana. We'll head to a commercial break. When we come back, Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's in studio with me. We're going to talk some local sports headlines, conference races in high school basketball, some big games forthcoming, and a lot more, all coming your way next in his segment presented by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt, right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is in studio with me. This segment each week is brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 t-shirt. They offer custom apparel to meet all of your apparel needs, including t-shirts, uniforms, corporate wear, and promotional items, screen printing, embroidery, or fully sublimated uniforms. Whatever your need may be, let Major League Shirt Company outfit your team or organization today. You can find more at mlshirtco.com. Again, mlshirtco.com. Craig, I did not mention this earlier, but Virginia coach Tony Bennett here yesterday in Southern Indiana. He was in Sellersburg at Silver Creek High School to watch Trey Kaufman, and he joins, I think he was initially scheduled maybe back before the season to come, and there was a tie-up with travel or whatever the situation was. But Coach Bennett from Virginia, another high major coach you can add to the list that has made time for Trey Kaufman to come to his home gym, watch him work out, practice, or play.
Absolutely. You know, it's going to be an interesting process for Kaufman to, you know, it's just going to be fun to see where his sight's at. Where does he's a really smart kid, and he's going to know where he fits best. So it's going to be interesting to see where he thinks that is, or if he narrows down some finalists that we can, talk about and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I mean, obviously he's going to end up playing high major basketball, I think, in the ACC or the SEC or the Big Ten or something to that effect. So, yeah, I mean, Virginia, and obviously Coach Bennett there has done a real nice job, and would be interesting to see how Trey would fit in with that style of system.
And, of course, depending on how long Trey expands his recruitment, does he take it into his senior year? Does he want to get a decision out of the way before them? That's normally the point where you'll see more even of head coaches making time, even in their seasons when busy with games and preparation and practices. So if this thing does go into his senior year, you can expect a long line of Division I head coaches to be at Silver Creek's gym, whether it be for a game or a practice. But a good number so far, and I would say that there'll be plenty of more stops for
Absolutely.
Some of these guys.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned IU, Purdue, Louisville. You know, I think Louisville. Those would be fun places from our perspective, where he, you know, we could talk a lot about him and as his career advances and that sort of thing. But yeah, you know, and you got to think maybe the summertime is a good time where you know where he might make a decision or preseason. But it's really hard to say at this point.
Yeah, going to be fun to watch. And we were talking about this some before the show today along those same lines of Trey Kaufman, but Silver Creek with Kaufman and Cooper Jacoby, it's amazing the numbers that these guys put up oftentimes in the same game together, kind of playing off of each other. It kind of brought up a question about how great is this duo of players for Silver Creek, and you can think across the state currently at some other pretty good 1-2 punches. Lawrence Central comes to mind. Maybe Bloomington South comes to mind. You could even look at Jeffersonville maybe with Trey Coleman and Jacob Jones as well, both guys that are going to play Division I basketball. But I would have to put that Silver Creek duo of Kaufman and Jacoby up there with the very best in our state as far as dynamic duos.
Absolutely. And, I mean, I think if you said, you know, who's the best front court duo, I think they would certainly have an argument to be the best. I mean, you know, how often do you have two kids, 6'9", 6'6", that can do everything, right? I mean, they both are great shooters from, you know, with deep range, and they both can get in the post and scrap and rebound, and they're both good passers. It's just a, excellent duo. And, I mean, yeah, like you said, Lawrence Central with – I obviously saw them go head-to-head, and those kids are very talented, Dre Davis and Nigel Pack, and – you know, Lawrence North, we saw them here in Jeffersonville. You know, they got more than two kids there that are very good. But I think that with the Perkins kids going to Iowa, and DJ Hughes, a big guy that's, you know, trying to, you know, create a name for himself. And, you know, like you said, Leal, and I think it's Noah Jaeger there that's had a real nice career as well. So he kind of gets overlooked, and they've got several good players there. So, yeah, it would be a fun conversation, absolutely. And I think, you know, like we said, I mean, Kaufman, I think Kaufman was nominated for one Player of the Week honor from a Louisville TV station this week. And, and Jacoby was like the District 3, you know, Player of the Week for the Indiana Coaches Association, and Kaufman wasn't. So it's like, man, they both had an awesome weekend. So, yeah, it's a timely time to discuss that, and obviously big game for the Dragons here this weekend against New Albany on Friday night. So.
Yeah, you know, hard to see this Silver Creek team with who they've played, who they've beaten, and most importantly, how they've won games like the Bloomington North. And again, I want to underscore how good I think Bloomington North is this season to go on the road, to dominate that game, to be up by 15 points or so, and to win it in the manner they did. I just struggle to see with Culver Academies and Trey Galloway up in 4A now, who is going to challenge the Silver Creek team? I know you could look at Heritage Hills, a rematch which could take place in the tournament that happened up at the Hall of Fame Classic, but I think Silver Creek, you've got to put up there at the top of the list as far as teams in our state that have to be big favorites to win a state championship.
Absolutely. You know, and you can't help but think, man, that team's got a chance to if they can win one this year, to win – contend for three straight state titles, so that'd be incredible accomplishment. But yeah,
somewhere I think Brandon Hoffman just kicked his desk at Silver Creek High School if he's listening. But I do agree with you, Greg, very much. I want to get your thoughts also on some of the conference races in high school basketball. We've had some great games to open up the month of January and the new year. New Albany and Jeff was fantastic. Floyd Central and Jeffersonville was great on Friday night, and other games as well, and some of the other conferences that are meaningful, some still to be played yet this season. But maybe take us through the local conferences with what you see. I think earlier in the week I touched on the Hoosier Hills some after the big Jeff last second, Jacob Jones three-pointer, that you've got to put Jeff in charge of the Hoosier Hills Conference. But what you see with that and some of the other local conferences?
For sure. I mean, I think, yeah, Jeff's sitting there at 3-0, and you know, Floyd Central, they obviously gave Floyd its first loss, but Floyd's only 1-1. So, if you know, I think, you know, I just don't know much about, you know, I think some of the teams at the bottom. Jeff's got Columbus East this weekend, and, you know, yeah, it's hard to see Jeff getting beat now that they've been able to beat their rivals here in New Albany and Floyd. So, you know, yeah, like we said, they're in the driver's seat, but I think those games have also shown us that the sectional is going to be up for grabs, and I think Jeff has not even played their best basketball. So if they can really hit their stride, yeah, maybe you might consider them a solid favorite, but I think it's definitely up for grabs at this point. But
this segment brought to you by Major League Shirt Company, home of the $4 shirt. Craig Pearson is my guest in studio, talking local sports headlines with us. As we head into the weekend, anything else that stands out to you? I know that I'm excited not only about New Albany Silver Creek, but also about Christian Lander, who I know lots of Indiana followers in Louisville as well will be interested to maybe see at New Albany at the Doghouse. But we are really in that part of the year where there are some pretty meaningful games and some conference games, and before you know it, it's going to be pairing time and then tournament time.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, if we want to talk a little bit about the Mid-Southern Conference, you know, Scottsburg is 7-0, you know, and Silver Creek's obviously 5-0, and hard to see them getting beat, but Clarksville at 4-1 has a chance to go up to Scottsburg and try to get them their first loss, so that'd be interesting. But yeah, good to see Clarksville sitting there at 4-1, and you know, just a great race there. And you know, our Southern Athletic Conference teams too, New Wash at 3-0, tied with Lanesville, top of the league there, and you know, just great to see them having a good year.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. You can read all of his and the sports team's work at newsandtribune.com/sports. You can follow them on Twitter at @NewsTribScores. And, of course, pick up a copy of today's News and Tribune as well. Lots of great coverage. In fact, most of the things we spoke about you can either read about, or they'll be covering some of those big games this weekend that we mentioned as well. Craig, always fun to catch up. We've got some great conversations coming up in future weeks as this season unwinds.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. That'll wrap things up for this Wednesday program. I'll be back with you Thursday, 11 o'clock. We have Alex Bozich and Brendan Quinn right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.